last but not least session, okay? We've done value delivery, trying to identify what our product is, who the target market is. We've done an ATR analysis. By the way, like I said, if you find this in a book, if you can Google it, tell me I want to buy the book, because in my opinion, as far as I know, this was invented by the marketing director in Del Monte who was working for me, okay? He's a math, BS math major, and I was just so impressed, and I never forgot it. Session number three, customer service, okay? I call it the front line and rear guard of any business. I want you to watch a... how many of you saw the movie Meet the Parents? Okay? So I took this clip from that film. Watch this, and we'll talk about customer service right after.
Enjoy your flight. Thanks. Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. We're only boarding rows 9 and above right now. You'll have to wait.
Well, I'm in row 8.
Please step aside, sir.
It's just one row. Don't you think it's okay, Beth?
We'll call your row momentarily. Step aside, sir. Thank you for waiting. We'd like to continue boarding the aircraft now. We're now boarding all rows, please. All remaining rows. Hello. Enjoy your flight.
Was that good customer service, or was that good customer service? What was wrong? Was she trained well as to what to do in terms of an orderly embarkation? Passengers, yes. We board them by sections of the plane. There must be order in this process. Okay? Did she do that? Was the customer delighted? Why? There was nobody else. And why did she refuse to let him board right away? Because yeah. Okay. Whose fault is it? Why is it management's fault? What is the fault of management? I agree with you. What is the fault of management? Not instilling value that customers should be first. What else? Yes. What did you say? People over rules or over policy. Yes. Yes. Flexibility. So if you were the manager, yes. Yes, common sense. Which is not very common, I'm afraid. Okay? So let us, if you were the manager, what would you do? Let's say you were watching this video and you happen to be part of the airline and you're the ground stewards supervisor. What would you do? Sorry?
I would go to Mr. Fokker and and attend to him myself and apologize.
No. You saw this video post facto. So it was a week ago. You saw the video a week later. What would you do?
I would actually sit down with the girl, pull her aside and sit down. Not fire her. Kawawa naman.
Yeah? Teka muna, we all agreed it was management's fault. So what would you do? And then? And what will you retrain her in? Okay. Earth to victory. Critical thinking. My nose is bleeding.
Value-based decision making.
My nose is even bleeding more.
I'd actually, since I have access, apologize to Mr. Fokker by sending a letter.
We'll do that. That's very good. But what you're now in front of the batch of stewards who's going to go out and do this thing. What will you tell them? What will you tell them? What? Yeah, customer comes first, yeah?
Maybe they didn't understand the protocol or the rules.
Correct. What should they understand? I'm the steward. I say, boss, okay, you tell me, what did we get here? I mean, she followed it by the book.
Yeah.
Lynn?
Maybe that customer service is serving the customer.
Very good. Well, in other words, the primacy of the customer. The primacy of the customer's convenience, happiness, okay? And you only do that when there are 800 customers who want to board the same plane. But if there is only one left, by all means, break the rule, okay? Because customer service exactly means serving the who? Success in value delivery comes down to excellent execution at the front line and rear guard of your business, okay? The front line are people who meet, greet, or interact with the congregants during service. People who speak to congregants from the pulpit or perform for them on stage, okay? Anyone that has contact with the congregant, parking attendant, security guard directing traffic in the parking lot, whoever is manning the welcoming, what do you call them, ushering group, the ones who say good morning, okay, greeters, the ushers, okay, if there's communion, those who deliver the elements, the tithe collection team, whatever, what do you call those people? Okay, ushers, all right? Song leaders, the band, the worship leaders, the band, okay? I mean, the everything that will affect the senses of the congregant. And finally, of course, the pastor, the preacher, okay? And by the way, the sound system people and the air conditioning people, okay? The PowerPoint people. So, all of this must converge to produce a delightful worship experience, okay? Those are the frontliners. Who are the rear guard people? People who are responsible for responding to complaints from the congregants. They may be the same as the frontline people, okay? So, whoever is, if somebody has a complaint, do they know who to write to, who to talk to, who to call? So, frontline and rear guard, okay? Here, you really need excellent execution because you have one shot at making people happy or making them unhappy. A customer service plan should be part of every church's value delivery strategy, okay? Using sports language, customer service is both an offense and a defense tool. Okay, so you may take this for granted, but it is very, very important. Excellent customer service will determine repeats. Okay, let me repeat. Excellent customer service will determine high repeats and eventually brand loyalty. I like it here. Why? I don't know. I just feel good. Because when you do a good job, people can't even put a finger to it. So, five ways to develop a customer service strategy, okay? Five ways. And by the way, you don't have to be a pastor of a church. You can be a campus missionary as you are. Okay, and this will apply to you as well. Number one, hire and train the right people and or recruit and train and deploy the right volunteers. What is right? Well, it depends. What's the value? What is, kanina, I was asking, what's the value? What do we want people to experience during the service? And who is the target congregant? There's a, okay, when you talk about the right person, it has to be the person who can deliver the product to the right congregant, okay? So, I mean, you will have some senior aged people preaching in your worship services every now and then. But by and large, the preachers are kind of young because that's a target congregant, okay? E.J. McKnight, a customer service guru, says happy cows give better milk. Now, that's very interesting. What he means there is happy people pass their joy to customers. And the reverse is true. Unhappy people pass their unhappiness to customers. So be very deliberate on who you deploy in the front line. Okay? If you are a campus missionary, you are everyone. You are the product. You are the product delivery system also. So in the morning, when you wake up, you have to look at yourself. Stay happy. Okay? Do I look happy? Because I am the welcoming committee. I am the preacher. I am the song lead. I mean, you are everything to your target person in the campus. So do you look happy? You represent Jesus. Why are you depressed? I mean, if that's Christianity, I don't want to have anything, any of it. Okay? And in fact, I became a serious Christian because I saw Christians who were cool, who had a sense of humor. And I said, you know what? I want to be like this guy. He was a happy guy. He was a from Navigators. He catered to businessmen. And I loved it when he taught us Bible. You know, he would start, we had a series on Samson. And we were in a country club somewhere on Paseo de Rojas, all businessmen and executives. And he said, well, gentlemen, we're going to talk about Samson today. And he said, basically, Samson was a jerk. And I said, well, you know what? I like this guy. He is irreverent. I mean, he is not religious. And that was very attractive to me. Okay, very attractive. So if you're a campus missionary, you are everyone. You're the song leader. You're the usher. You're the greeter. You are the church as far as that person in UMAC or USD is concerned. So this applies. I hope you are happy. Or at least pretend you're happy. I mean, you know what you guys say, right? I mean, fake it until it becomes real. Okay? Because pretty soon your heart will follow your head. Okay? So, be deliberate on who you deploy at the front line. Number two, develop and install a customer service process aimed at meeting or exceeding congregant expectations. Now, we're back to the church now, okay? There has to be procedures or written up things so that certain customer service standards can be met. For example, if you are an usher, I mean, it will be nice if you come 10 minutes before the service. Or even earlier. What's the standard here? 30 okay, 30 minutes. I mean, that's a standard. I mean, how can you usher if you're late? Okay, it'll be, show up early. And by the way, if you're a greeter or an usher, ideally you should like people. And ideally your face should be smiling even if you're frowning. Okay, not that I want you to go take a Botox treatment, but you know, you have to have a natural smiling face. You know, otherwise, Why put somebody who looks like a grouch in the front door? Nordstrom, okay, is a parang a Rostand type department store in the U.S. Okay. The low level competitor is Macy's. Macy's is like SM. Okay, is that about right, Lynn? Okay, Macy's is the one who advertises all the time. Nordstrom just puts their stores right beside Macy's. Okay. Now, Nordstrom is a killer customer service company. Because if you walk into a Nordstrom, you can count within, there's a standard, within a minute and a half or 2 minutes, somebody will approach you. They're not going to approach you right away because you might get scared. They'll let you wander around. But within 60 seconds or 120 seconds, 2 minutes, somebody will approach you and say, can I help you? Okay? If you go to Macy's, that is about 5 to 8 minutes before somebody even takes notice. Okay? So, they have standards. Nordstrom is legendary in its extreme customer service standards. For example, there are a lot of anecdotes, and the culture is made up of these anecdotes. Okay, it's almost like Steve's an accidental missionary book, where he wants to preserve the anecdotes because he wants to preserve the culture. Okay, talk about codification. Okay, Steve codifies the anecdotes because he wants the legacy preserved and the culture preserved. So they have examples of, okay, here's a lady. Let's say Nordstrom is closing at 8 o'clock. Lady walks in at 7:55. There's a sale, and she just wants to get this dress. She tells the Nordstrom salesperson, you know what, I have a flat in my car. My tire, one of my tires is flat, and so... but I don't want to miss the sale. If I fix the flat, I can't get the dress I want. So the girl says, it's a guy, says, hey, look, go for it. And where's your car? Give me your key and I'll fix the flat. Ganon tipo, okay? Or they deliver merchandise to the homes of the customers. Sorry? But the price, okay? Well... You see, product and target. They're not targeting poor people. Nordstrom is not targeting poor people, all right? But the point is, they have a standard of dollar sales per square foot. And if you're in charge of a section, let's say a ladies underwear, you have a target. If there's 100 square feet of space, there's a dollar sales per square foot standard. And you need to meet that, okay? But Nordstrom people tend to stay almost forever with Nordstrom because they are very happy people, okay? Very high retention, okay? Because there is a process and they are trained in that process, okay? I put Willow Creek here because I went to Chicago to visit my sister, and I could not wait to get into Willow Creek, the church of Bill Hybels, okay? Because legendary. So I walk in, and I stood out because I was wearing a jacket. Because I was afraid I might feel cold, and turns out I was the only one wearing a jacket. So I stood out. In spite of that, however, no one said hi to me. I mean, I stood out. I'm not American. I'm short, I'm brown, I'm wearing a jacket. I mean, it won't take you, you don't need a PhD degree to know that he's not from here. Did anyone greet me? As a pastor, I was curious, how do they treat newcomers? I walked in, I was entertained by the preaching and the music. I walk out, and I felt sad. Felt really sad. In fact, I I walked to the customer service, whatever, information booth, just to kind of announce that I existed. And there are a couple of people who were chatting with one another. And I said, is there a literature where I can learn more about Willow Creek? And she said, just get one of those pamphlets there, which I did. And I left. And I was heartbroken. But it serves me right. Why should I expect anything, except being ministered to by the Holy Spirit? But as a customer, I felt lousy. And Willow Creek went like this, in my estimation. Okay, I revisited several months later. Okay, this time I wasn't wearing a jacket anymore. But it was the same thing. And I understood the problem. The seating capacity of that worship hall was 7,500. One time, 7,000. It was like PICC, Plenary Hall. It was beautiful, it was huge, and it was impersonal. And Bill Hybels himself said their biggest problem is lack of connectivity with one another. Okay? If I were them, I would say, hey, look, we can't tear down the building to make it smaller. It's already built. We spend a lot of money here. Let us develop a strategy to connect everyone so that no one will ever not be greeted. And you could subdivide that worship hall into 100 areas, and you could put 100 people in charge of, 20 square meters, and make sure you greet everybody in your area, you see. So, I was disappointed. I still am disappointed up to now. That's why I even made them as a bad example here. See, talk about low repeats, huh? Low repeats. Oh, number three. Cultivate an organization culture that is service-driven and a work climate that is healthy and beneficial. Okay? You need to have a customer service is a culture. It is cultural. It has to be part of the DNA of everyone. Otherwise, it will be forced, and people will, the new attendee will know it's being forced, it's by the book. So it has to be cultural so that it is natural. Give you an example, L'Opera restaurant at the Fort. Now, this is an expensive restaurant, but whether it was my birthday, my wife's birthday, or one of my children's birthdays, we always go to a nice restaurant. So we went to L'Opera here in the Fort. Okay? Excellent food. My son was coming from somewhere else, so he was going to be late. So me, my wife, and my daughter were in one car. We got there on time. Mark and his then fiance, not yet married, were in another car, and my third boy was in another car. So we were all there except my third boy. When he arrived, he parked in a no parking part of the street. I mean, you can park on the street except where I think the stairs go down, okay? So we were ordering, and the waiter was getting our orders. And the guard came in and slipped a note to the waiter. And the waiter said, sir, is this your car? We said, yes, that's my son's car. Said, it's parked in the wrong place. Oh, okay. He said, don't worry. Give me the key, and I'll take care of it for you. Let me get your order first, and then I'll take care of it for you. So he gets our order. He puts our order in. He goes out, parks the car where it should be parked, gives the key back to my son, and tells my son where it was parked. And I told myself, wow. I mean, this guy must be in great need of a big tip. But still, it was so natural for him to do that. And I could tell it was part of the culture of that restaurant. And needless to say, he got a big fat tip. And I was impressed. Now that's customer service. You can tell the culture, the kalagayan, should be service-driven and a work climate that is healthy and beneficial. In other words, those workers apparently were treated well. that the work climate was beneficial. Their bosses cared enough for them. Because if you care for people, they become caring people. Okay? If you're gentle to your children, they will become gentle to other people. So, another example, this is my favorite. I've probably given you this example before. Discovery Shores Boracay. Okay? My son, when he got married, he asked me, "Dad, can I get married on my terms?" I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, you know how it is. I mean, when kids get married, 80% of the guests are the friends of the parents. Can Michelle and I, can we get married on our terms?" And I told my wife, and my wife said, "You know what? As long as he invites us, yeah." So, no, my wife didn't say that. I told that to my son. So I said, "Son, what's your plan?" "Sabi niya, well, you know, small wedding. You, mom, my siblings, Michelle, her parents, her siblings, and then our friends. About 50 people, all in, including hairdressers and makeup artists. And Bernard Marquez and his wife, who married them, okay?" And so I said, "Fine. Where are you going to do it?" He said, in Discovery Shores Boracay. So I said, "Are you paying for it?" "Of course." "What about your guests?" "Well, you know, that's why we only invited people who love us. They have to pay for their own way to." Make a long story short, I've never stayed in Discovery Shores Boracay. Okay? So I finally got to Discovery Shores Boracay. And those people, the procedure is this: thrill the customer. Because it's not delight the customer. That's too low a level of customer service. We will thrill you. Okay? Now, if I fast forward, Kumuna, when we were checking out, they gave us a feedback sheet. They said, were you happy with the service? And it was called unhappy, happy, very happy, thrilled. In other words, it was part of their procedure to thrill me. It was in black and white. I checked thrill, and I'll tell you why. Okay? They pay attention to you. Okay? Every time they see you, they hold their heart. Okay? I thought they all had carjack situation. But they hold their heart. Okay? We went up to the room. And when we were unpacking, the bellboy was still there. And my son said, "Sana, we only have one key. Sana, Stephanie and I will have one key each to the room." They shared a room. And my son said, "Well, I told the front desk already." Now, the bellhop overheard. And he said, "Sir, I will follow up the front desk," without being asked. And he followed up and he gave the second key. My daughter wanted to go sunbathing, and so she went sunbathing, and this is the lounging chair, so she sat on it like this. When she woke, before she sat, the girl said, "Mom, I think you lack suntan lotion. Can we put suntan lotion on your back?" So they put suntan lotion on her back. She put her sunglasses by the table, and when she wakes up, her slippers were facing here. Because when you wake up, you need your slippers facing there. There was not one grain of sand on those slippers. They cleaned it. Then they offered her a drink, which was free. It's just not free, it's very expensive. But she didn't have to sign for it. She goes back to her room. The towel on the bed is made into a swan. And she said, "Dad, go to your room. I have a swan in my room." Okay? So, I see a swan in my room. And so she told the housekeeper, "Ate, bukas gusto ko puppy dog." "Oh, sige." True enough, the next day, the towel was in the form of a puppy dog. Okay? By the way, when we arrived, they took a picture of us, of our family. He took a picture. So I said, oh, nice people. In the morning, however, the picture was there. Each room had the picture. I said, wow. Yeah. So now, buffet breakfast is only up to 10:30. It's part of the bill. So I told my kids, look, let's save some money. I want all of us to load up at breakfast. So the next meal will be dinner. Okay? So this place is too expensive to have three meals a day. I want everyone, I don't care how late you stood up watching TV, I want everyone, because I will not pay for lunch. Okay? So, as usual, my wife and I were finishing lunch. It's 10:29. And guess what? These three haggard-looking young people trying to beat the 10:30 deadline. My children. Okay? My children. They're late. I said, my wife said, don't get angry. We're on vacation. Okay. So, my kids go to the maitre d'. They said, sorry, we're late. They were packing the breakfast already. The maitre d' says, hey, no problem. Follow me. Brings them to the kitchen and says, you take your pick, whatever you want. And my daughter said, Dad, can we just live here? I mean, this is a, you know what? I never enjoyed, I mean, it's too expensive to do it very often, but I tell you, I was thrilled. I was thrilled. My daughter has three pictures, three nights coming today. Three pictures, swan, poppy, and I think crab was the third one. The towel thing. So, I mean, it is, I'm not surprised, it is top 100 resorts on earth. The only resort in the Philippines that's making the top 100 on earth. Okay? So, it is clear there is a culture in that organization that is service-driven and a work climate that is healthy and beneficial. Because excellent customer service overflows naturally from a healthy and beneficial work climate. You can fake it or force it, but if the climate isn't there, it soon shows in the poor quality of customer service. And it takes top leadership attention and involvement to build the right climate. Now, you can argue, but Alex, that's an expensive hotel. Yeah, we paid. But folks, we're talking about God's business here. Should we deliver any less? Because we've been paid. We've been redeemed. Okay, we've been paid. We've been dealt with. Our sins have been dealt with. Can't we provide a better service? Why do these commercial people provide excellent service and thrill their customers when it's just money they get? And probably a thank you note, which we did. We did thank them. But we are the redeemed. I mean, we are the loved, the beloved. And God has died for us. Should we not strive even more to provide, oh, completely outstanding, off the, sweeping them off the feet, customer service. And that takes leadership. If you're a campus minister, missionary, and you perceive a need in a student you're trying to minister to, and you help that student, and you bowl or you sweep him off his feet or sweep her off her feet, she's going to say, wow, there's something weird about this person. But I like the weirdness, you see. Because I'm not paying for it, and I'm getting a lot of value. Okay? I am the resume development coach of my children's friends. To my unfortunate, my kids are so comfortable offering my services. So I get emails, Tito Alex, can you help me in my resume? So I codified good practices. So the resumes of my children, I just removed the details, okay? and there's a template. I said, here's the template, you follow this enough, and then give it to me and I will polish it. Okay? Pretty soon their parents were sending their resumes to me. I'm not kidding you. And so Lelo said, my wife said, ano ba yan? Maningil ka na kaya? But you see, I do it because I pray for the friends of my children that somehow they will see there's this weird Christian family, you know. And the dad of Stephanie, he's a pastor, and they're a weird family, you see. But they help us. And there's something about this weird family. And that's what we do. And, you know, do I get money? No, I wish I did. And does it take time? Yeah, it takes a lot of time. But it's customer service. And when you look at what's at stake, you know, a soul is at stake. And if people kill themselves in Discovery Shores because we're paying them a lot of money, what about if you are able to help win a soul to the Lord? And it's just incomparable. Okay, incomparable. Okay. That's my way of telling you that even if the top leadership of the church fail to motivate you, we are all direct reports to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? God does not have any grandchildren. We're all direct reports. So, you know how to give excellent customer service from a Christian point of view? You cultivate that vertical relationship every morning or every night. You keep reminding yourself of what God has done for you so that you will be inexhaustible in your patience, in your desire to help people. And you know what? You're going to win people. God will draw people to you until you will not have time to minister to all of them. Okay. Number four, publish a customer service newsletter featuring customer service stories beyond the call of duty, and establish a reward and recognition system for customer service rock stars. It yields great dividends in promoting a customer service orientation. Now, the problem here is you don't want to make egomaniacs out of your teammates, okay? So, you don't have to name names. But the person who did it knows who she or he is, you see. But what is clear there is the culture is propagated. The values of loving people and ministering to them in a loving way will be propagated if you have this quarterly, you know. If you collect enough anecdotes, now, you know, how far do victory people go to serve the Lord? And the answer has to be all the way. And if you can collect anecdotes and publish it somewhere, I mean, I don't know, electronically, so people can read it, download it, they'll be encouraged, and it will continue to create that culture of great customer service. Honda, I like Honda. I have three Hondas, okay? Honda will call you if your car is due for service. They'll remind you. After you bring your car to Honda, at least this is Honda Alabang, they will call you if you are happy with the service and with your service advisor. I just like those people. So I don't have to remember when my car is due for servicing because they'll call me. They don't have to call me. There is no obligation to call me. My Hondas are old already. I mean, I had a Honda, my oldest Honda is 8 years old. And they still call me as if it was brand new. They're not making any money on it anymore. But they care. You see, Honda cares for me. That I know. Honda cares for me. And the post-visit attitude of a new congregant should be, victory cares for me. That's why I'm going to come back here. Because these people care for me. And I like them. Okay. And finally, create a, this is optional, create a customer service crisis process and SWAT team to handle customer service crisis situations. This needs planning and assignment of accountability, which can rotate, be rotated a la fire brigade captainship. Do you know what a fire brigade is? In companies, the government requires all buildings to have a fire drill, okay? And all companies are required to appoint a fire brigade headed by a fire captain. And so it's like the steward is teaching you how to put on your seatbelt. No one pays attention, okay? But everybody's like, okay, this month you're the fire brigade captain. It's rotated, okay? And you guys are the members. And you're given literature on what to do in case of fire. And do we read it? Of course not. When a fire drill comes, everybody says, "Asan ba yung, you know, where's my job description as captain?" And we're all running towards the fire escape. Pare, ganito raw, you know, it's really funny. Because fires rarely happen. One day, somebody went to SM and shot his friend. You know the story. Wow, what happened? You know what happened? Nothing. The guy was dying on the floor, and no one knew what to do. Because there was no crisis procedure. Okay? Now, this is very rare. What if someone gets a heart attack at the middle of a service? Who's supposed to do what? You understand? So, that's, you know, crises are an opportunity to create an emotional bond with congregants. Okay? The church that creates an emotional bond with the congregant retains. Everyone say emotional bond. See, that's the initial relationship is an emotional bond. The ultimate one is a spiritual bond with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? But initially, is loyalty comes out of an emotional bond. Now, crisis situations are an opportunity to create very deep emotional bonds. The SM situation, somebody walks in, shoots somebody, the guy is dying there on the floor, and on TV, people were walking past the dying person. No one knew what to do. So you need to create a customer service plan, a process, and a SWAT team to handle customer service crisis situations. Not very often, but when it happens, you have an opportunity to either fall flat on your faces or to improve. Needs planning and assignment of accountability. At the minimum, a documented process with persons accountable to guide action during crisis situations. I have another example. I should not have placed fitness first, but if they place fitness first, I withdraw it. I should not have named fitness first. But my friend, dear friend of mine, Christian brother, was in fitness first. I will not tell you the language branch. You know where I live, so anyway. I hope no first here. He was doing cardio and weightlifting. When he finished, went to the men's locker to get dressed. He felt dizzy, he sat down. Before anyone knew it, he was sleeping and snoring. Someone saw him, and they said, "Sir, are you okay?" And he was groggy. He was getting a heart attack. Okay, now, what happened? Nothing. They searched his wallet, got a number, called the house. The daughter was there. The daughter, their house was far away. Our house was nearer. Okay? Daughter calls Tita Lelo, my wife. My wife said, "What?" Okay, so my wife is in lunch with some other Christian women. So they said, "Okay, we'll take care of it." So my wife and two other women, they go to Fitness First. Now Joe is a big guy. Okay? The Fitness First people would not touch him. By this time, Joe is unconscious. So my wife said, "What are you guys waiting for?" "Well, Mom, you know, because they don't want to be sued." So my wife said, "Okay, will you help us? I will take responsibility. This is my friend. I'll take responsibility, but I can't carry him. Will you please help me?" So they carried Joe into the CRV of my wife. Buti nga, CRV pa yung kotse ng asawa ko noon. He would not have fit in the Honda now. So, he rushes him to Asian Hospital, to the ER, and they take care of him. And he almost died. Okay, and Joe is back, and he's as funny as ever. The point is this. There was a crisis. Does this happen every time? No. Once every, 5 years, 10 years? How many people get a heart attack in? But there was no procedure, you see. And you know what? Fitness First went like this in our estimation. Because when there is a crisis, you have an opportunity to create high emotional bond or negative emotional bond. Okay. So the point of customer service is very simple. That you create an emotional bond between the church and the congregant. Ultimately, as the congregant grows in his or her faith, that bond will be transferred to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you want to get repeats, you must develop an emotional bond. How do you do it? It's by alalang. Every element must work. And I cannot overemphasize, the ushers probably determine 80% of that bond, and the preacher determines probably 20% of that bond. See, when people walk out of there, they say, you know, I like it here. Why? I don't know. They're nice people. They care about me. And I'm really impressed when I'm standing alone because I parked and my family is seated and I can't find them. I'm standing alone and somebody says, I say, and then he says, okay, I got one here. And that makes me feel really, really nice. I mean, I feel that somebody cared whether I lived or died, okay? And so, that's what customer service is all about, okay? Creating an emotional bond. Let me close. The best strategy is not to be the best. We should not aim to be the best. Because the best is too expensive. Biggest venue, biggest parking lot. It's too expensive. We must aim to be unique. Okay? The best strategy is to be unique. The worst strategy is to have no strategy. But trying to be the best is not the best strategy because it's too expensive. Trying to be unique is the best strategy. If people can find the value we give them only in victory, my friends, we will not have enough room to contain people who will come here in droves. And you know what? It starts with us. Because church is a people business. Okay? It starts with us. And we better be sure about our vertical relationships with the Lord. Because that is the source of the joy that when we get into contact with people, will be passed on to them. Any questions? Comments?